Alloway Parks Recreation and Forestry Committee meeting Wednesday, September 30th, 2020. It is 5:30 p.m.
All right. We'll start with roll call, right?
Correct.
Zach?
Here.
Piarki?
Here.
Borowski?
Here.
Atwood?
Here.
Kowalczyk Adrian?
Here.
Mooney here. And Heather Gentry Nimmer. He said she's not here.
Correct. She's excused.
Okay, so any modifications to the agenda? If not, we'll go ahead and adopt the agenda as provided.
Move to approve, as is.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Okay, the agenda will proceed with as submitted. Approval of the August 25th, 2020 minutes. I'll take a motion unless there's some changes.
Move to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Okay, so the minutes are approved. Public appearances. Is there anybody on this call?
No. And I did not receive any via email.
Information. Vandalism at PHM Webster Park.
Yes. Just wanted to give the committee a quick informational update about a situation we had at Webster Park on September 10th. Two concession stands at that park and one of the score booths had been broken into. We received a call here at the office from a resident of a couple of individuals walking down one of the streets with a cart full of boxes of concession items, and they thought that strange, so they happened to be near the park. They walked through the park and noticed that it had been broken into, so they contacted us. We contacted police department and got to the site, found that those facilities had been broken into. There was damage to the doors and the locks, some of the materials and supplies on the inside that our user groups had stored in there, and then there was some theft of some of the items from the baseball concessions. Police department was not able to capture anybody at that date, but they were able to identify two suspects through some very hard police work. They worked with a lot of the neighbors who happened to have security camera systems on their houses, and were able to eventually identify two suspects who they're still following up with. We're looking at possibly approximately about $2,000 worth of damage to the facility. So if we're able to follow through with the suspects, hopefully we can get some of that money back. And that we are, because of that and some other incidents we've had over the last year or so, we are looking into some security camera systems for our parks to be able to monitor for situations such as this.
Any questions or comments for Chris?
Typically what happens is there's just restitution with something like this, where there'll be fined, and they'll have to pay, you know, the village back for any of the damages and things along that line. So, but we'll see where that goes, and you know, like I said, proceed with some more security options for not only Webster Park but or some of our other parks as well.
Are you able to say more about who did it?
I don't know. Yeah, the police department didn't let me know individuals at all. They just said it was the two suspects. So.
Did they happen to say if they were juveniles or adults?
I believe they were juveniles, which would also limit any, you know, information that we may get. But yeah, but it's an investigation that they're, I believe, still ongoing, that they haven't closed yet.
So. I am aware of the fact that it was grandchildren of a resident on Lytle Street who were visiting and decided to go on a little extracurricular activity.
Yes, very well put. Very well put.
Moving on, trick-or-treat event.
Yes, obviously with COVID and all of the craziness that goes on with that, and not knowing from day to day what will or will not take place, our rec coordinator Matt Hahn has is working on a drive-through trick-or-treat event. Not knowing, you know, how trick-or-treating may be for kids this year, he's working on something, an event at the Broadview Soccer Complex. Where they could, you know, hand out treat bags to kids as they drive through, you know, in their vehicles, so it's a lot less interaction. He's still working to obtain donations, working with some businesses, things like that, and hopes to at least have 200 or more treat bags to be able to hand out. Looking towards the latter part of the month, he doesn't have a specific date set yet. You know, as close to Halloween as possible, and there'll be more information to come with that, and hope to get that out on Facebook and get to let the residents be aware of it.
Great idea.
Yeah, I thought so as well.
They could decorate cards to be scary.
Right. Good idea.
Okay, item, or any questions on that? More to come, I guess we'll see. Item number 6, discussion update to the Comprehensive Outdoor Recreation Plan.
Yes, wanted to start discussions with this, get the ball rolling. It has not officially been adopted into our budget for 2021 yet, but we anticipate that that will happen, and just wanted to get the ball rolling, you know, with the committee so that we can have things in place once we do get that official okay to proceed. As you know, our Comprehensive Outdoor Rec Plan, it's a document that we need to update every 5 years. It's utilized a lot, not only in development of our park system and maintenance and programming, things like that, but it's also utilized in obtaining grants. A lot of grants require that you have an outdoor recreation plan of some sort to obtain funding. So we're due in 2021. Our current corp plan that we had done in 2016 was a revision and an update, so it was quite extensive work, a lot more than what I anticipate this time to be. I think this will be more of just an update to that plan of, you know, updating the things that we've done in the last 5 years, along with looking at what we want to do in the next 5+ years. So in looking at this, I don't believe it'll be as extensive, won't require as much work by a consultant, hopefully won't cost us as much. Our previous one, we did get a pretty good deal on. I think if we had talked about it a little at the last meeting, it was a little shy of $8,000. We budgeted $15,000 for this, but I don't anticipate us hitting that mark. I did reach out to Brown County Planning Department. They do this type of work for local communities within Brown County occasionally. And they said that, they still do the work. I wasn't exactly sure if they were still, doing this type of stuff, but they still do that work. And it's an option that we can look at along with other consultants if we want. One thing I think we would start with is coming up with an RFP, what we would want to include in an RFP, and then reach out to our list of consultants see where we're sitting with regards to that, what prices come back at, and then we could look as a committee, we can score those consultants and come up with one that we'd want to work with on the update. Like I said, I reached out to Brown County Planning and some of the other consultants that we had on our list, short list last time, Rettler Corporation, Grafe, Ayers, Cedar Corp, R.A. Smith, MSA, and then a local one that we'll probably want to add is ISG. We know somebody that might be able to help us along that's, pretty well versed in this type of work that sits on our committee. With regards to, those are some of the consultants within the state that do this type of work frequently. With that, I guess maybe we can just start this open discussion. Questions, we can, just kind of look at this from, this is our first meeting of this. I can try to answer any questions. Maybe Danielle, I know you had reached out to me with some questions. Maybe you can feel free to, bring those up and we can talk about some of that as well.
I think as much as our firm does this kind of work, I think my value here is as a committee member, not as a consultant.
Yep.
It's work I'm passionate about, my value is here as a servant, not as a consultant. And so I think as such, though, I did have some questions and ideas, and I think last time we talked about, why a consultant. And how can we leverage the funds we have allocated to get the most out of that engagement? And so some of my questions were about, how can we, either as a committee or a community or through Brown County, get rid of some of the data gathering stuff that anybody can do? We could have an intern or something do that stuff and hand it over to a consultant to grind through. My concern is taking a budget, whether it's $8,000 or $15,000, dividing it by an average consulting rate. That's not a lot of hours, and I want someone we hire to spend as much time using their fresh eyes, setting us well for the next 5 years, not making base maps we already have. So that would be one of my points to offer. And then I think parks are physical places. They're not ideas. We're not talking about vague things. They're places. And part of this project is very much about an inventory. So one item is, can we reconsider when we let this RFP so that the place is as accessible and in the growing season and all that good stuff as possible for the person who is out there gathering photos and understanding what's ADA accessible has the best possible chance to do that. If we let an RFP like this in January, we're going to get crummy photos. We're going to get partial review because the ground plane is covered with snow. you can't see where some of those key interfaces are. And unless we have a reason to be done with this by May, you know, I think timing becomes really important. And it's a once every 5 year time, so I think, or look. So I think it's important to be intentional. The other part of it was the 3 month thing that was shared in the last RFP. I would offer that in order to get proper public engagement, I would want to think about the timeline. So if we're letting the RFP, or we're hiring someone kicking off in 1 month, you know, we want, not, want and need to give proper public notice to the public for meetings. And so we're not giving a lot of time. While a short project window gives the consultants very little chance to get over budget on the consultant end, not that we have to deal with that, they have to deal with that. You can do a very abbreviated work in 3 months and be done. But I'm afraid we won't get the proper or adequate public engagement if we keep a project like this to just 3 months. So I would encourage us to think about what are we trying to apply for grants? How do we back out of a proposal or a process that way? And then, you know, set the timeline intentionally to that end. Mm-hmm. Those are some of my main ideas. You know, I guess one other thing I was thinking about, and it was along the lines of why a consultant, was, you know, if we do get help, either our committee mobilizes and everybody takes two or three parts, and it's, you know, a teammate, and we do some of the information gathering, or I don't know, something, or Brown County supports us in some way, you know, can we then have the consultant do some little sketchy master plans on some of the parks that we think have great potential, or that could use a second look because they haven't been touched since they were originally built? You know, that would be something that I think would be great for a consultant to do. You know, we know what needs to be maintained and what the connections are. You know, anybody that uses the parks knows those things, but a consultant might know what the trends are and how we can, you know, better position ourselves. And by looking with fresh eyes at the design of a park, you know, could ratchet everything up for us in a couple of spots that we're directing them to look at. So those were my comments. Thank you.
Quick question, Danielle, and you might know this. I believe if we are in the process of doing a corp, that would allow us to apply for grants that would require it, as long as we're in that process, if I recall.
I believe you're right. Most of my work has been in Minnesota doing this, but yeah, we'd have to check that first.
Right. So if that's, you know, if that's the case, then, you know, I don't think that would be an issue with regards to that timing. Like you said, you know, it wouldn't concern me. I can look into that a little bit more, but I thought that was the situation. Anyone else have any questions or comments with regards to either what Danielle has said or anything that I've talked about?
This is just a really big project, and it's pretty exciting, too. So I think it's just a lot to...
Sure.
To process, and I understand exactly what Danielle is saying when it comes to having them focus on the things that we can't get done.
Right.
Putting our money there, because if they're busy making maps, they're doing park inventories.
Right.
And you know, like,
with the previous one, like I said, that we had done by Rettler, part of that project was that they had to provide the village with Word and Excel documents, things that we can now utilize from that corp, and either provide to the consultant and they could utilize how they see best, but so they're not recreating some of those items. We've already got them. And another thing kind of to follow up with some of Danielle's comments, she's correct. You know, if the timing isn't that we have to be done in 3 months, then, you know, let's give them 6 months if we, or 4 months or whatever, but and start it in April or May and give them the summer months to do. You know, that gives them that time period, like you said, where you can best see the parks. Their parks are most highly used. They get more interaction, more public feedback, you know, those type of things. So also gives us a little bit of time to get things, you know, that we need to get done, you know, after our budget's approved. Gives us a couple of months to get things put together with that RFP to get that out, you know, at that time. So, Danielle, do you have something?
Yeah, I was going to offer, too, that those warm seasons will help us with public engagement. Like you said, if people are using the park, you know, we're doing a lot more these days with public engagement, not just because of COVID, but going where people are. So, you know, it's not unusual for a park like this and a project like this to, you know, have a little fold-out table at the park, and you're catching people after work when they're walking their dogs, they're riding their bikes, they're going to the soccer game, and it's a postcard, and it's, you know, an FAQ and a web page. So people you might not capture at a, you know, building from 6 to 7 on a Tuesday, as per the usual. You might still have that meeting, but you might also capture the people that are using the park who don't know they care mm-hmm. about this kind of process, but who very much are part of the community and just maybe aren't into public meetings in person,
right.
You know, in a building.
That's a great point. And I'm not sure how many individuals were on the committee when we did the last one, but our public meeting that we had, I don't know if we had anybody show up at. And even things like, you know, pretty much any public meeting with regards to any plans, very few people show up at those, you know, whether that's, you know, park related or, you know, planning related. So, Dina, you probably know quite a bit about that. You know, how much public interaction you get in person versus, you know, whether it's surveys online or, you know, different things like that. So. Okay. Any
so
other?
Probably be,
go ahead, Dina.
I was just going to say, so there's going to be plenty more to come on this. This was just kind of the start to show us what a typical RFP looks like and then to maybe help focus on our next RFP.
Correct. And I had sent out that information to you from our last CORP update, what that RFP was like. The scope of work with that I don't see being as extensive with this one because this is going to be more of just an update. You know, a lot of that stuff has been done. You know, and then along with that, I gave you a sheet, what we utilized with how we scored it in the past, just to give you an idea of what that might look like, you know, as we move forward. So, okay. Any further questions with that or comments?
But just an offer, Chris.
Sure.
I heard Danielle talk about data gathering and the potential to use an intern for some pre-work kinds of stuff. I'm available all winter. We're not going anywhere. We're stuck in COVID hell.
Okay.
And I'm retired, so I've got time. So if there's something that I can do to help with that, let me know.
Oh, thank you. And I'm sure that there's, you know, things that, like Danielle had mentioned, that, you know, we could utilize committee members, you know, for various parts, you know, and pieces of that, so.
Kind of like to think of the seasonality, too. Like, maybe we do need to get some more activities that are winter-centric that maybe we will miss if we do it in the summer, and vice versa. So it can at least get us thinking.
Well, The other thing, too, with COVID, you know, hopefully we'll have that behind us by maybe next late spring, summer, and there'll be more people, you know, out and about, and, you know, versus what we have now and or this winter. So, no, that's great. Okay, I think then what I'll do is I'll start to work on a new RFP and a draft of that, and provide that at the next meeting for everyone to see, and we can kind of tweak it as we see fit, and maybe come up with some better timing and things along that lines, and I can provide you with some more additional information. So.
Okay. Sounds good. I was sneaking through here. All the people on ACWBAY is here.
Yes. I believe that's Mackenzie. I didn't get a reply. She had called me earlier today and was asking about the next item.
Okay.
That she has interest in that. So she wanted to...
I'm sure, yeah. Yeah. It's a good one. I think we all are.
Yep.
So the next item is discussion, the Rush Family East River Trail options with river flooding.
Yes. Wanted to start discussions with this item. It's been an item that we've talked about off and on for the last couple of years, probably. But just kind of start with some high-level discussions on this. A few points that I wanted to start with. First of all, this is kind of a, I don't know if it's a coincidence or timely, but there was, City of Green Bay is discussing this right now as well. One of the alder persons was going to talk to their Park and Rec Committee about this very item. So there was a news article yesterday, I believe it was, on one of the news stations about this. So not only us, but other communities are looking into it as well. I do think that this is an item that we can collaborate with other communities on. I did reach out to... Village of Bellevue, City of De Pere, Park and Rec departments, and they, you know, are also looking into it and are interested in how we can work together on finding solutions or, you know, what can be done. So, one thing I think that we'll continue to do in the near term is at least start communications amongst the, you know, probably five communities that are affected here on what direction we should go. My gut tells me that the first thing that we'll probably want to look at is looking at having some type of a consultant or engineering firm come in, take a look at the situation, and come up with a solutions, plan, whatever it may be that the communities can look at as to how to deal with the flooding, how to best, you know, utilize the trail that we have, or are the options to do other things. So I think that's probably going to be one of the first recommendations, is to kind of go down that road. A positive with collaborating like this is if we're looking at any grant funding, it makes it a lot more palatable for these grants to provide that money to people that are, you know, partnering with other communities, you know, for instance. So if we have five communities that are looking to do something and we put a grant application in together, you know, those are, I don't want to say a slam dunk, but they're rated a lot higher than others. So that's a positive aspect of working together on something like this. So, from that high level, you know, perspective, I think that's probably a starting point to get things rolling, get people on the same pages, and get that word out, get those discussions out in the open. So. Any questions or comments at this point?
I think one recommendation at this point, Chris, would be to get ahead of the curve a little bit and to have you go out there and actually put together some sort of map of the trail as it exists in Alloway and just indicate on that trail where it was underwater for the last 2 years.
Sure, sure.
Or problem points are. I think that would just, it would get us out of the chute a little bit quicker. I mean, that's something you can just drive with one of the trucks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then just mark it on the map, mm-hmm. you know, in a color-coded. Just a thought.
Yep. Okay, great.
Any other comments or ideas?
My other comment was, don't we have between all these municipalities internal resources that could assess or have ideas about how to correct the problems that do exist, as opposed to hiring a consulting firm? I would think that if we're going to hire a consulting firm, they should have some unique skill that we don't have internally.
I agree with you, Mike. What's that?
Watching the budget here.
No, that's fine. That's fine. No, I agree with you, and I think that that's why you would hire a consulting firm, because I don't know. I know the Village of Alloway does not have that expertise, and I would tend to believe that, you know, Ledgeview and Bellevue probably don't, you know, with the size of their organizations. Maybe the cities of Green Bay and DePere have, in their engineering departments that would, you know, better understand. But those are civil engineers versus, you know, the type of expertise that might come along with, knowing floodwaters and rivers and, you know, things like that. So that, I think, is, it's a good point. And if, you know, we start our discussions with our neighbors, you know, that's a great question. Say, you know, anybody in your organization that, you know, can assist us with this?
It's worth an ask.
Yep.
No, I think that's a good point, too. And just like the effectiveness of grants when you're working with your neighbors, I would say if we did need, and other communities did need outside support, from a consultant or expert of whatever kind, that you're going to get, you know, a better price, if you will, if it's not such a small bite.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that we have, you know, however many points along this trail that have been problematic for us, other communities have too. It's not the whole system, but it's along the whole system. So a comprehensive approach would make good sense.
Well, it goes to that other point, I think, about, are we serious about connecting all these trails at some point in time? And what does that look like from a funding standpoint? You know, grants are one thing. Community support and going out and asking for one of our citizens to dig into their pocket and offer up a few bucks here and there might make some sense as well.
I'd be curious. I'm sad that Heather's not here because I think she has such a great perspective on the system generally, and I know we have some common contacts that are talking about system-wide trails in the Green Bay metro area. So we'd be hopeful that this could come back on the agenda sometime and kind of hear more about those ideas. I know there's some good things in the works that are, I think she alluded to last time,
yep,
that isn't public. I think I know the same thing now, but it took me a month to catch up to her. But to your point, a long-term funding stream and a big process that is comprehensive, not just technically difficult. I think it's a we need a comprehensive solution, and working together is a good place to start.
Sure. Sure. No, to that point, I think both this item and the previous item, you know, with the corp, are going to be, you know, ongoing items on our agenda for the next several months at minimum. So, yeah, I would hope that Heather and her knowledge and background would have a lot of insight into this and help us along the way, you know, with that.
Future agenda items, we kind of mentioned too, the corp and the flooding. So we'll probably continue to have those on the agenda. Is there anything else? Any other ideas? I do have a question, Chris. I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but we were over at Langlade School to plan the school playground the other day, and I went to go and see about the new playground equipment at Langlade Park. What's the status on that?
Unfortunately, we haven't been able to schedule that install yet with all the other work and things that we have. We do have the equipment, you know, on or here. We had purchased that, but we have not had the ability to get that project rolling. We're trying to finish up some other projects right now that we have out there, kind of hanging, that are not completed. And if we can still, if the weather holds and we can still get that done yet this fall, we plan to get that done yet this fall. Otherwise, first thing next spring.
Okay. Not really an item for the agenda, but I'm just curious.
Sure.
Anything else? Did you want us to maybe start... Like, we've talked about this before, but like with our SCORP, just brainstorming ideas or things that, suggestions. I know we've kind of talked about like kayak rentals and.
No, that's a great point. I think that as committee members, you know, you guys should not only brainstorm your ideas, but talk to your neighbors and your friends and things like that, and just start making a list and bring those back to the next meeting. And those are things that we can, you know, once we decide, you know, what consulting firm or whomever we go with, that we provide those to them. You know, those are some of the things that Danielle was kind of talking about, some of the, you know, easy stuff that we can do that would make their job easier, which in turn... you know, would help with any pricing or anything like that. So, but yeah, definitely, you know, as members, you know, please start making a list of things. I know probably one that will be at the top of somebody's list will be a splash pad somewhere, because it, you know, seems to always come up. But yeah, you know, things along that line, great ideas, and yeah, hopefully. You know, we'll have a great product when it's said and done. And, you know, like they always say, a plan doesn't do you any good if it sits on the shelf and collects dust. You got to utilize it. So, which I think this past one we've, you know, worked through and done what we can do. And we've done a lot of great things in the community in the last 5 years. So.
And one thing, too, to emphasize, too, with that plan is how it kind of pays for itself, because you have to have a plan, you get the funding, you know, and how much funding have we utilized because of that plan, and
yeah,
$15,000, you know, maybe got us $80,000 or $100,000 in value.
Sure,
that
sure.
We've gotten grant funds on, so that's always kind of nice to see, like, over the years. Especially for trustees and whatnot, like to, you know,
yep.
See those numbers.
Good.
Any other items for the agenda? If not, I guess I'll take a motion to adjourn.
Dan?
Yeah.
Second.
Who seconded?
Danielle. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, meeting's adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
everyone. See everybody next month.
Yes, have a great...
One item for the agenda, community center update. If it's sold, if it hasn't, I just thought of it. Sorry.
Oh, sure. I can give you an update on that next week. Sure.
All right.
Have a good evening.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.